Podcast with me, your host, Stephanie O'Quigley. This is episode 8 of the Wall Podcast, and I have to say, we're absolutely flying through the first series. This is an interview with celebrity makeup artist Neil Scabelli, who is also a part-time musician. Neil is a native New Yorker and has worked closely with me over the past 3 years through my work as a publicist. I've watched Neil grow his professional career, develop a huge social media following, and become a contributor to some of the biggest beauty websites in the world. Neil is Elle Macpherson's go-to makeup artist, but has also worked on the set for Beyoncé and Adele. When Neil isn't beautifying the face of the world's biggest celebrities and models, he's belting out Vanessa Carlton covers in theatres all over Manhattan. Neil sits down to chat with me about the struggle of accomplishing his dream of becoming a celebrity makeup artist, what advice he has for those trying to grow their network, and some of his favourite makeup tips and beauty products. If you're a makeup lover or passionate about the creative arts, this one is definitely for you. Enjoy this episode and I'll chat to you on the next one. So as is such an established makeup artist, you're working for yourself, you've got celebrity clients that are just beyond famous, you know, and I've worked on sets of amazing, you know, with amazing talented people. Tell me about your very first experience with beauty products or color cosmetics, from a point where you were kind of like, oh, I like this, you know?
So I always, growing up, like my first memories of beauty was watching my mom put her makeup on. Like, I remember standing at the doorway of the bathroom when I was supposed to be getting ready for school. This is like probably elementary school. I can, you know, when you just have that vivid memory of certain things. And I remember standing at the doorway and she'd be putting on her eyeshadow and like, she didn't do, my mom still like does not wear a lot of makeup, but like her little like light chocolate color in the crease. And like, I would see that happen and I'm like, wow, that totally did something different to your eyes. And then she would do an eyeliner on the lower lid. And I was like, wow, like that's her signature thing. And like, that's mom now, because she has that thing on under her eyes. And like, it makes her look this certain way that like, oh, that's how she does it.
Right.
Because I, you know, everyone's used to seeing you after. So I remember watching that in elementary school and I was just so intrigued by the process. And then I was intrigued by the brushes as well, like the tools that were used. And then side by side that, my grandfather was a painter and he had an art studio in my grandparents' house. So in their basement, they had an art studio with like canvases and like easels and oil paint. So between like seeing my mom do her makeup and then like seeing my grandfather paint, because when they would babysit me, I would, like, go watch him paint.
Right.
So I just feel like that really, like, sparked the interest in me to just be an artist, or maybe I just had it in my blood, but that
was your earliest
like,
memory.
Amplified it.
Right.
Yeah.
What, so what age are you in elementary school?
I guess it was early elementary that I was interested in it, like third grade even.
So for people who aren't from the US, that's what I'm trying to figure
so
out.
Like,
are you two or
no,
are you like
you're
six?
you're like eight.
Okay, eight.
Yeah, eight or
okay.
nine probably.
Okay.
Yeah, like I mean I just that's when I started like being intrigued by like color cosmetics. Like early like 10 even, whatever, you know, like that.
Right.
And then my earliest memories like kind of really like getting a little bit more into it was I went to performing arts high school in New York, and I was a vocal major and then a theater major my last year. And on the senior year, I found myself like doing the makeup for the shows a lot, and just doing my friends' makeup, and I like fell in love with being able to transform with color cosmetics and like the things it would do. And And I would notice little things, too. Like, if my teachers in high school had, like, a highlighter, or, like, if their cheek looked like they had high cheekbones and, like, there was, like, a highlighter, I would, like, stare at it and be like, that's so cool. Like, what is that? And, like, I liked how you can accentuate certain features and bring them out. So like the nerd I was, I would go to Sephora after school in high school. We would come to the 42nd Street stop in Times Square and go to that Sephora. And I would play around with the makeup and just like, you know, get my hands
dirty. Did you buy any? I did. Okay.
I would buy.
You were able to afford it? Like as a kid or?
You know, like you would save for that one or two things that you wanted.
So you would save for it. Okay.
I would like, but I didn't, I definitely didn't get like tons of makeup. Like I remember getting like a Clinique men's bronzer, which is so funny. I think they still make it.
They make it.
Yeah, they actually make a men's bronzer. I think it's still out. It was in a silver tube, and I remember being like, I think I mixed it with moisturizer, like probably like a very
for your whole body, like or
I did face. It was like face.
So your face is just bronze.
I know, but like that's what I guess. I don't know. That was a thing. But I remember mixing a little of it with, like, a Neutrogena moisturizer or, like, a Cetaphil moisturizer. And I was like, okay, I've got a little color. Like, I've got bronze going.
Mm.
But more than that, I went to Sephora and read about the skincare. Like, mm-hmm. I remember there was Peter Thomas Roth was there.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I remember reading the labels and learning about salicylic acid and glycolic acid as a high schooler. And I was so obsessed and intrigued. Like,
because usually the makeup comes first, and then people, then makeup artists realize that they needed good skincare to kind of to complement it, really, or to set a foundation. So usually the makeup comes first, I would have thought.
I don't know if it was because as someone that I felt could use the skincare more. Like, I didn't wear much makeup or any makeup, so I felt like if I got these really good cleansers and moisturizers, A, I would help my skin, and B, I was just, when I saw that there was, like, salicylic acid on the market that would help your pores and, you know, clarify blackheads, I was, like, in. Mm. You know, as a high schooler, I was like, cool, I want to do that. Things that would fade blemishes or, you know, whatever. So I started learning about skincare through going to beauty stores like Sephora and reading the labels, and then joined college. And if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't have, but glad I did.
So you were going to performing arts school for singing?
Yes.
Okay, for singing, and then you went into straight into communications. So what was the first job in beauty?
So, funny enough, I ended up, while I was in school at Marymount, I still wanted a part-time job, and I was, like, living in the city, and I was like, all right, I discovered Fresh, the brand, Fresh, through my little, like, time at Sephora reading labels, and I was, like, obsessed with the Umbrian Clay face mask at Fresh, and I was, like, 18, and I was, like, okay, time to have my own money or whatever, earn my own living or whatever. I mean, I was still studying, so I walked into a Fresh store. I remember walking into the one in the 70s. There was one on 74th and 3rd or 2nd.
Do they still have standalone Fresh stores?
I think there is still one downtown, but I lived closer to the Upper East Side one because Marymount was on 71st Street. Mm-hmm. So there was a Fresh on 74th Street, and I walked right in, and
can I have a job?
I literally was like, I want a job here.
Right.
And they were just, I remember being like, is the manager here? And she was like, well, I'm the assistant manager, like, how can I help you? And I was like, I love your brand. Like, it was that moment of like, just putting your stuff on the table and, I don't know, hanging up your coat and being like, look.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because, like, I was going to not survive. Like, I was very much only 18 and still, you know, pretty much kind of under, not full support of my parents. But, you know, I just graduated college. I wasn't homeless, but I wanted to work in the beauty industry. So I was like, I love your brand and I love your products. I tried them out. And I love your products. I'd love to work here.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, well, what experience do you have? And I was like, honestly, none. But, like, I am really passionate about, like,
Fresh,
beauty and, like, learning ingredients. And at the time they had makeup, fresh had a full makeup line.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, I'm really interested in like color cosmetics as well. And she like actually gave me a chance, and she was like, well, can you come back tomorrow? Like the manager's here. So I ended up going back, and they gave me an interview, like just from like really showing that I was interested. And I remember that store manager had to pass me along to the regional manager. It's so funny how you remember these things. And then the regional manager scheduled another interview with me. And I remember just sitting there, and he was like, why should we hire you if like you've literally had no experience? And I had my Anne Hathaway moment, I guess, of Devil Wears Prada. I was like, look, I love your company. I love the beauty industry. I know I can do well for your company. Like,
is that what she did in Devil Wears Prada?
Like, I feel like she was like, look, I'm smart. I'm trustworthy.
Okay.
Like, because they didn't want to like give her the position or something because
right.
she didn't look like the other
part.
Girls. And she was like, I may not seem like I fit in here, but you can trust me. Like, I want this. So, I mean, Devil Wears Prada came out way after
right,
this
but you're just,
experience.
Yeah, that's an
but,
example.
Long story short, sorry for babbling. He actually asked me to take samples home of a few of the products from Fresh and study them and come back and sell them to him, like in my next interview. So I had like
you were
six
like, yes,
interviews.
I can do this.
Yeah,
I
had
this.
So many interviews for this part-time
That's crazy.
Job.
Do you still remember the people that you worked with?
I do.
Okay.
I do. A lot of them moved on. I think like one or two are still with Fresh. And a lot of like the higher, like the regional, he stayed there for a while. And like I remember keeping in touch with them like after. And like they saw my journey like after that. But long story short, I sold it. I sold the products to him. I got the job. And I became their third top producer in the company as a part-timer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I have the letter and everything.
Do you still use Fresh products today?
Funny enough, no.
Oh.
I like have it. I still get the Umbrian clay because I honestly love it. But I think they just, I don't know, my skin, I guess, I got more into things that were a little bit more, like,
strong,
aggressive
yeah.
and strong,
yeah.
like, that had, like, more actives. But I still use the Umbrian Clay face treatment on any... If I feel a pimple coming up, I put the clay mask on overnight, and I leave it there.
Okay. So it's good.
Yeah, it is really good.
Okay.
I love their stuff. But I was with them for a while. I stayed for a while. I stayed while I grad... I think stayed through college. Like, I was with Fresh for, like, 4 years. And then... after that, I moved on, and yeah, I don't know if you want to hear the rest of the journey, or you can...
How did you get into doing makeup for people?
Mm-hmm.
So did you, were you repped by an agency for a while, like when you were very young, or did you always, were you always freelance?
Yeah, I really got into it probably early on after that. I started freelancing at Henry Bendel, and I remember celebrating my 21st birthday while I was working at Henry Bendel. And in that, within that store, which, God rest its soul, because it's gone now.
When did it go?
Like, the last year.
Oh.
But it was like a beauty haven. So there was like every brand.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I learned so much there too. And I met so many working makeup artists that were just freelancing there and then had like businesses on the side. And like, were like full on freelancing or had their own kits. So I built my kit while I was working there, and then I started doing test shoots and like just learning the ropes. So like really like learning on my days off, I was doing a test shoot with a photographer I met. And if I met a model and she wanted to do pictures, I would be available for free and just work and collaborate. And like so much of my 20s was spent creatively collaborating, and like some of the best work I've ever done was just organic creation with these, you know, other talents that I've met.
Did music take a backseat as this was happening?
So like music did take a backseat. Makeup became like really kind of, it took off for me. Probably in my mid-20s, I became a national makeup artist for the brand Jouer Cosmetics.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had the best time working with them. I did like all of their fashion week. I did their all of their on air, you know, promotions. I did press with them. I did like all of like the editor VIP stuff. So I really learned a lot because as someone that wore all of those hats within a small company at the time, like I now see how valuable that was because I was doing like Molly Sims's makeup at like 25 years old and collaborating with like Serge Normand's like assistants, you know, like just
so
I was in that world, really early on, and you never know where it's gonna take you. Like for anyone that you know is even in around that age that's like starting out, it's like everything that you do, I've realized, is so valuable because that hair person,
you never know,
is gonna have someone tomorrow that's gonna like.
Need,
can make your, you know, could make your career or can get you a regular steady client. So yeah, stuck with being a national artist, got promoted, got to do a bunch of really amazing things with them, and then continued at the same time to build my own clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Went out on my own after that.
Mm-hmm. What age, what year kind of age was that?
27-ish.
Okay.
I went out on my own fully. Took the leap, like, didn't have a brand behind me, nothing.
Did you ever think of becoming represented, like, by an agency?
I did, yeah. I did become represented right around that age. By that point, I had worked with a bunch of, you know, great clients and celebrities and was able to put that in my book. I had a bunch of test shots with a bunch of photographers that were good enough to be in my book. And I got my first agent. So yeah, it's a whole thing. And there's no roadmap. But I feel like everything I did has led to the next thing. And you just have to keep sort of an open mind and an open road because...
Did you have doubts at that age, going out on your own at 27? Did you have doubts in your
totally,
head?
Living in New York City.
Did
going,
you know, did you say, oh, this is really what I want to do, like pursue a career as a celebrity makeup artist? You know, was there music niggling in the back of your head? Like,
music
what was going on?
Is always in the back of my head.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm doing your makeup and music's playing in my, not literally, but it's in my brain. But it all goes together because I feel like as, even as, I will still say, like, as a musician, I understand musicians that I do makeup for.
Right.
And I understand, like, their vibe and I understand when they don't really want to be spoken to and when they do want to be spoken to, and I understand how important it is when you're on a video shoot, like to give the artist their space or to not pull out your phone, and all of these things I've learned growing up with, like, I assisted a lot of celebrity makeup artists, so that's like another simultaneous part to
getting that
to doing test shoots.
Yeah.
There's so many, there's a lot of like parts to it, but I definitely was assisting celebrity makeup artists in my 20s that were working with like pretty high caliber clients as well. And
when you say pretty high caliber, what would you be talking about?
Like who?
Yeah, who?
So I assisted on like the Met Gala for Rosie Huntington-Whiteley.
Okay.
For her. And I, again, was young and didn't know who she was. It's always fun when you don't know who they are because you really show up to just
do good job.
I mean, I always do no matter what, but it's when you, I think when you don't know who they are, it's like nice because you can just, they know that you don't know who they are and it's just super like, want to eat french fries and hang out and this is whatever. So yeah, there was Rosie and a few others that I assisted on, and Beyonce music videos, things like that. And there was no, like, I feel like I learned from a lot of the OGs, like, in the business, and, like, it wasn't about Instagram, it wasn't about your phone, like, it was really about, like...
Like, makeup artistry and...
It was about the artistry, and it was about, like, truly being present as that extra helping hand. Like, I was rolling their kits. I'm still rolling my own kit, but...
Does that mean you...
Like, I will help them get it out of the car as an assistant, but I will lay it out, like, lay the products out, hand them the tools that they need to make, you know, to make it happen, and really be there and learn, like, what they did as a makeup artist, and I was so fortunate to like work with people like even Mally Roncal, mm-hmm. who does Beyonce's makeup a lot, and learn from the OGs like how the business is really, how it's done, and like with the dignity and like kind of the good-heartedness mm-hmm. in it still.
With that, the social media, so you've brought that up a few times. Do you think, how do you think that kind of changed your career? So early 20s, mid-20s, you're doing all this assisting? Is that
yeah,
right? Time,
yeah,
time
learning, was? Assisting, building, portfolios, right. testing, yeah.
So then was it in your late 20s that you experienced this like massive
this
boom of social media?
Yeah, the agency told me like, basically,
at the time you were still
yeah.
represented by
so
the agency.
So I had gotten signed, yeah, I was really excited. Mm. And they were like, look, like, you need to get your numbers up. And,
mm.
you know, that was kind of a thing. And I was hearing that from all ends, like the
mm-hmm.
music end, the music industry, they want your numbers up. The makeup industry, they want your numbers up. But what they didn't realize is, like, I had just worked 14 hours on a set and, like, killed the makeup. And it was
right.
so good. And
I
had the best time, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, no one sees that.
Mm-hmm.
But they see all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this conversation with a lot of, like, OG makeup artists, too, that
mm.
are, like, around my age or older, and we all are just feeling it. And I think that they're, and I'm happy to be that once I find a way to be that, but I think there's got to be a voice and a way to say, like, it can't just be about numbers for talent.
Mm.
I think talent speaks for itself. But I also respect people that are on the grind for those numbers. I think quality over quantity
mm-hmm.
matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so here to like join hands with other makeup artists that feel the same way, because we all feel it. So the agency was like, bring your numbers up, you know, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. So
what did they advise you to do?
So organically, because people do ask me like how that happens, and I've been a slow rise in that arena, because I really don't force it.
Mm-hmm.
If a client reposts me, like a celebrity or
mm-hmm.
someone reposts me, that helps sometimes, because like a lot of their fans like want to keep tabs on like what you're doing.
Right.
So that's one way that I've gotten.
Are you verified on Instagram?
Not yet.
I thought you were.
If anyone wants to verify me, like,
we're
sure.
here. We're here for
here.
It.
I
think you can just actually apply.
I haven't, but I heard that too.
Yeah. Especially if you're like a public figure, you can apply.
Okay.
Yeah.
I should do that. But yeah, and the other way is like, obviously when you collaborate with a team,
mm-hmm.
you know, hair, makeup, stylist, photographer,
right.
art director, you know, you're all in it together. So that's like another way to build like your name and your team and your numbers. And I contribute a lot to press. So like they have,
right.
you know,
they tag
you
on social,
I contribute to a lot of like major media outlets, and it's always nice to be in those publications, because sometimes people do tune in to my own channels for like extra tips and things on the side.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I saw the industry change in my late 20s, and
so then did working, doing makeup on set or wherever you were doing makeup, become more about social media?
So I think it can become that, and I've like stepped back
mm.
a little bit because of that. A little. I think it's important to. I love both, because there's only, all you can do is adapt with the times and also share what you're doing.
Right.
But I don't think we should rush into an like inauthentic place where we're just showcasing all of these things, but like we don't know why we're doing it. Or even when I look down my feed, I'm like, I have to log off, because I'm like, what,
mm.
what is real and what isn't? You know, like it's gotten
mm.
to that point. But I will say I can appreciate an artist's work. So like if it, you know, if it means sharing your finished look on Instagram and tagging your team, like amazing. Like,
right.
If it means doing your makeup on Instagram and showcasing the products you use, like awesome. I think we all should and do find our own ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people have asked me to do a YouTube channel for so long and like start a channel and do tutorials, but like I don't want to do it if I'm not going to do it right, and like I'm not going to do it the way I'm going to do it, mm-hmm. then I'm not going to do it. So I've held out, but I have other exciting ideas and plans like in place mm-hmm. for something similar to that, but it's not going to be like a tutorial YouTube. I'm really interested in reconnecting with like my journalism and communication side again.
Right.
And like kind of finding a space in beauty and mm-hmm. merging that all together. But yeah, industry changed. I'm in my late 20s. At that point, I'm just like trying to connect the dots here again before I keep babbling. And yeah, and then being on my, so I was signed with the agency. I ended up leaving after just a year. It mm-hmm. was like super sort of mutual too, because they were like, they had a lot going on in LA, not as much in New York. I was in New York. And I learned a lot about agency life too.
Right.
And I'd love to like, I don't know, I think we need more classes on makeup business, because
yeah.
I think this is something.
Like your portfolio, getting to join an agency, like, you know, connecting with public relations agencies
yes.
and all that. Yeah.
PR agencies have really helped me a lot. Like,
mm-hmm.
I have to thank all of you guys. Like, PR is, it's just such valuable, such great relationships in that
mm-hmm.
arena. And maybe because I went to school for communications, I've, like, found this natural, like, friendship with so many publicists. Like, we all
yeah.
just, like, I love, like, so many publicists, we all just get along so well. And I love
that,
what you guys do.
Thank you. I think that could be your little magic strategy. So like, you're working in makeup artistry, but you also have experience in communications.
Mm-hmm.
You're able to relate the agency, like the agency representatives, but also like your public relations
yeah.
whole side of it. And you're able to kind of know the value in the public relations
yeah.
side of things. And then also with your music, when you're working with artists, that you have that understanding on their side
yeah.
as well. So you're like able to completely just dive into whoever you're working with and completely understand it, because you've done it.
And go into that mode.
And go into that mode.
That is why
yeah.
my brain is probably so overcharged all the time, because it's like I have so many like compartments that
right.
it goes into, but it all relates. Like it
mm.
all, like fashion has crossed over to music. Music has crossed over to fashion, and PR people like working with people that have experience with press. Like it
mm.
all helps, and it all, I've learned so much, and like just at my age, like I feel like I've learned so much and have done so much, and
mm.
it's exciting. I'm just plotting my next my next venture.
Yeah. So do you have any before I want to talk to you a little bit about like some fun celebrity stuff and some
yeah,
makeup,
yeah.
Some makeup as well at the end. But do you have any kind of real kind of macro lessons from your experience going from the guy who walked into that fresh interview and being so kind of innocent but yet passionate, and then to somebody who's like, you know, Instagram features a photo with the Beyonce and having worked on set with Adele and. Just being in demand so much now, is a lot of makeup artists would dream that they could have your work. I know you've worked hard for it, but what kind of lessons have you learned along the way that you hold close to yourself, and you kind of say, yeah, you know what, I'm proud of that. You know, I'm proud I put in the work, and I hold that very close to myself.
Yeah.
That's a big question.
No,
sorry.
There's a lot of answers to that. It really goes back to being a genuine kind of good intention person,
mm-hmm.
I think, is firstly
has
and
that
foremost.
Served you well, you think that?
Yeah, and it's
okay.
like, even assistants like that I will bring on, like I'm very cautious about it, because when they're around like your clients or when you're around talent, like it's a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on who
you
are. Because
you
want to
protect that relationship with
yeah.
the talent. Yeah.
And I think that there's, it's a few things. Going in with the best intentions and there to do your best work
mm-hmm.
with nothing, almost like nothing back in return, has been my motto.
Okay.
Because I everyone's best friend. And I think we, in the new kind of era we're in with a makeup artist being cool,
mm-hmm.
that line gets blurred very easily. And, like, I think people think it's a lot easier than it is, but, like, it's hard. Can I curse on this? Like,
yeah.
This is not even a curse, but it's hard-ass work. Like, right. It is just hard work. Like, people see it from far, and they're just like, oh, you're killing it. But they don't know that your call time was at 3 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
you haven't slept in 2 days, and your back hurts because
mm-hmm.
you're lugging a kid around. Kit with a T. Some people are like, you have a kid? You know, like, it's really hard work, and it's sustaining yourself day in and day out, because I think some people think like a fairy godmother is gonna like shine something on you and say, okay, you're gonna go do Janet Jackson's makeup,
right?
And like, it's really like you're gonna get yourself there.
Yeah,
you just, I think, have to have like the best intentions and, you know, a great heart, because people around you will know
that
and they'll
yeah.
see that. So I've just kept the same, like, I'm the same Neil that walked into Fresh
right.
today.
Right.
And
I've noticed that, because I've been with you in situations
no.
where people have met you for the first time, or I'm introducing you to people, and it is like that. People remember you, because I think to your point, what you're talking about is there's a lot of, people think that it might be about networking, which it is part of it, but you still have to show up at 3 a.m.
Yes.
on the day, and you still have to be willing to do a good job on or off social media and be willing to stand by that.
Absolutely.
And it's a portion of networking, but
yeah.
just because you know so-and-so and so doesn't mean you're going to get called
yeah.
to do
and here's
that
a,
person's makeup.
Yeah, and here's the thing about networking. I worked for free in my 20s so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just because I knew in my heart I had so much to learn
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to be on set.
Yeah.
We didn't post. Like,
right.
when, in my early 20s, in mid-20s even, posting was not a thing.
Yeah.
I was
so
there.
So nobody knew you were on set. Nobody knew you were on set.
No one knew. And when you are on set with big artists,
you want to
cheer. You can't be on set. I mean,
or
I'm sorry,
you
can't be on your
phone.
Okay,
yeah.
Like, my phone has been taped. I've never needed it to be, but, like, protocol, like, my phone has been totally on lockdown on set. So, like, just because you are trying to be a makeup artist with, you know, and be on set with celebrities, the phone needs to go in the pocket,
yeah.
and
yeah.
it's done. It's a
yeah.
wrap, you know? So, it's really about the work for me. It really is. And then all the other stuff comes after. Like, all the other fun stuff when you get to, you know, share the video or, you know, make friends with, you know, your team,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's genuine. You become like really good friends with them and, you know, becomes family at that point. But first and foremost, it's the work. And then the other thing I was going to say, since you mentioned networking, is there's networking, but you also don't want, for me, like, I can tell when someone's networking because they want to assist you and like take a picture and put it on their thing. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, you assisted me once and
mm-hmm.
you're posting on your page. Like if you're mm-hmm. posting the client that you assisted me on and we just met for the first time, like, it shouldn't be about
right.
that so
right.
soon. Like, and I learned this, I think, through my parents, through like my mom and dad who came from Italy with nothing, and like my grandparents that
mm-hmm.
moved from Italy with nothing. There's patience in like that success,
mm-hmm.
you know, the posting and the makeup buy, hair buy. Like, I learned so much, like a quietness in that. Like, I
mm-hmm.
learned this like patience that comes along with being able to say makeup by Neil on a
mm-hmm.
post, because I actually did it and it took a while, you know, like it took a while to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely didn't do that to people I assisted.
Right.
And
but now it is truly makeup by Neil.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And I learned by assisting other people, like, you just don't do certain things. And I think like this generation should definitely pay attention to
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've gotten a lot of sweet messages from young people that want to assist, and I've taken a few on, and like, they've gone in some interesting directions. Like, people want to snap and post to, like, in 1 second that they
mm-hmm.
know you and they've assisted you. And I'm like, as an advice thing,
mm-hmm.
this is gonna get you so much further, is like, literally be in it for the work and
mm-hmm.
like put the phone away for a little bit and actually be part of the project. Like, if you're shooting, learn the lighting, like, learn that eyeliner trick, like, learn the brow shape, learn that you're gonna make someone feel uncomfortable if your phone is out on camera
right.
mode.
Just
like,
be good at your work.
Yeah, and that, I think a lot of other makeup artists will tell you, that's why they're still working today.
Yeah.
That's why they're still working. Like, I've never pulled my phone out in front of a client until I've been super comfortable with them.
Right. Even at that.
And even at that point.
Because it's like being with your friend, and it's like, I don't want to
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, and then I wanted to, like, we're coming towards the end. And loads of content. But I want to talk to you a little bit about makeup and products specifically. And maybe if you had any, like, crazy requests or, like, clients that like certain products or some of your personal favorites.
I am always on the market for new stuff. I'm always testing things out. And I've learned the importance of even testing it on yourself to see how it wears over a period of time.
Okay.
Because the last thing you want to do is put it on a client and look at them an hour later and be like, oh my God, that foundation just turned a different color. Like...
Is that when it oxidizes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was dreaming that foundations change.
That happens.
Okay.
I mean, it hasn't, thank God, happened to me in a long time, but... Those are things that you
how
need to
you
work
know?
Through in, like, your early years.
Yeah, how do you know if a foundation's going to oxidize, though?
You probably don't. You want to test it. Like, test it on yourself, like, on your face. It'll oxidize on your hand, too. So when it hits the air, you want to give it, like, even give it an hour and just keep an eye on it and look at it in the light and see the change in tone. If it changes, obviously...
You're not gonna
go in a different
But
I get requests for a lot of different things. Do you want to know, like, specifics?
Yeah. Do you have any,
like, favorite?
This celebrity likes this one, like, and if you don't want to.
Yeah.
You don't have to speak to that if you don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, so we all grew up with Mac. Like, I feel like growing up.
Yeah.
So I still get requested to use, like, a Studio Fix powder.
Why are you laughing? I like that
product.
Because
it's so funny. I love it. But, like, it's amazing for TV.
Yeah.
And I still get requests to use, like, the Studio Fix powder and the blotting powder, like, especially, like, in the T-zone or under the eyes. I got requested for liquid highlighters a lot.
Okay.
And I love doing, like, a dewy skin look that's kind of, like, I feel like been my thing. So I do get requested for, like, Burberry makes a really amazing highlighter. It's a cream one, and, like, Becca makes a good one too. The shimmering skin perfector. It's
okay.
In the liquid form though.
Okay, so Burberry, we say Burberry in Europe. So Burberry's liquid highlighter, and then Becca's liquid highlighter as well.
Yeah.
They can be hard to work with though.
I dab them on at the end.
Okay.
You don't want to, like, dab them on and then put powder over it.
Yeah, of
like,
course.
Do the highlighter last, I would say, like, especially if it's a cream, so that it's, like, the finish of your skin and that, like, it's the highest points of your cheekbones, but it also is going to look the most freshest because you just put it on over your, like, even if you powder, you can put a dab on over it. And that's going to give you, like, that movement and the dimension in your skin.
Right.
So I love that. I love, like, a good chocolate liner. Like, love, like, Mally's. Mally makes... Mally on Cal. It's
M-A-L-L-Y. Okay, I never heard of
celebrity makeup artist.
Okay.
And my friend, she makes amazing eyeliners that are waterproof.
Okay.
And I've used them on video shoots.
Because you know what eyeliner is really good is the Urban Decay 24/7.
Love that. So those are my, like, OGs, too.
Yeah. That's, like, it really works.
Yeah. I use those all the time.
Yeah. I've yet to find a liner that works like that.
So I love Urban Decay 24/7. Mally's work. Really similar, and hers are matte. They don't have shimmer. So, well, she's both, but I love both of hers. But I find that Urban Decays have more of a spark to them, like more shimmer.
They do
versus matte.
Yeah.
So if you like more of a matte, like even Makeup Forever does the waterproof matte eyeliners.
Okay.
Makeup Forever.
Yeah.
Love those.
And does any, so when you do celebrities, so Elle Macpherson is one of your regular clients. And do you know what she likes, or is it every day she's like, whatever? Like, are most celebrities like, whatever? Or
you know, it changes. I find, so with Elle, it's usually similar look.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got the look, like, we get the look down, and then we go with
so,
it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then if it's, you know, usually if it's for TV, you know what the TV look is going to be, like, as far as what products,
mm-hmm.
which involves more of, like, the powders or the, you know, more of an HD foundation or locking in the T-zone more, which is okay for TV to look a little heavier because that's not going to look heavy on TV.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's an appearance in person,
mm-hmm.
like, let's say a meet and greet or, you know, a public appearance,
mm-hmm.
I will go as light as a tinted moisturizer with,
wow.
yeah, with
okay.
concealer,
mm-hmm.
like a good Clé de Peau concealer,
mm-hmm.
with tinted moisturizer or like RMS. Cream blush is beautiful. I love theirs. But yeah, once it varies. So like, I find that with like supermodels or, you know, with Elle, like we've done a look and like, I understand it. I know it. And I love like replicating it. And I think like we run with that. And then when you want to boost certain things up, you know how to boost it up or tone it down. That's also fun because you learn like what lip colors are always going to work with them. And like,
mm-hmm.
when I'm like accepting products, like I know what range, you
it's
know,
gonna work
is going to work
yeah.
for her. Or like, no, I'm not going to, I don't need this burgundy lip or
right.
I don't need a red lip really
right.
for her. But if it's a singer or if it's like a Beyonce dancer that
mm-hmm.
I'm doing for like, you know, if she's doing when we did like Good Morning America and her dancers did like all the like bold lip colors, like
mm-hmm.
a purple, a red, a blue. Like, I know like a super stay matte formula will work on them and not move. And I find that singers and artists, like just this past fashion week, I worked with Maybelline on a bunch of singers. I find singers like switching it up every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I find that they are inspired, as am I, daily. Like I can't pick an outfit out the night before because I have to see the, I have to feel
the
day.
Way,
yes. Yeah.
You wake up and you're like, what do I feel today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
I'm
I'll
saying.
Literally try to go to bed and be like, okay, I'm going to wear that shirt with
but,
those pants. And I'll wake up
yeah.
and be like, ooh, it's a little bit, the weather is making me feel a certain way. Or like today is like a white, a cream shirt day and
mm-hmm.
not a black. It's
mm-hmm.
just a thing.
Yeah.
So I think singers have been like,
what
literally,
feel
they'll
today.
Wear a blue lip.
But that's the way it is with makeup as well. Like, sometimes I'm like, I would love, like, all the eyeliner
mm-hmm.
today. And, like, you know, like, I would love to wear lipstick. And other days, I'm just like, no makeup.
Yeah.
And I really want to feel that no makeup look. Or,
yeah.
you know, whatever. So, it's like that as well. It really changes how you feel.
Yeah.
So, what's in your makeup must-haves?
In my
like
makeup
you always get
must-haves.
This question.
In my makeup must-haves. So much. So I have probably about 3 suitcases that are done of kits. And then I have like a stock room area with drawers and
mm-hmm.
labeled and all of that. And I will do like a segment maybe there one day. But I have 3 kits of different products that I interchange depending on the client. So must-haves will include, I mean, off the bat, should we start with skincare? Like, I love...
Yes, tell me this.
I still love Embryolisse. Like, under makeup, it's a great primer. I love Natura Bisse skincare. Under makeup is beautiful. I love... And then as far as my kit goes, I love the Armani Luminous Silk foundation.
Okay, that's on my, like, next foundation to try this.
Try it. And
yeah.
If you like more of the luminous glow, do the luminous. And then if not, there's also the Maestro, which is a little bit more matte.
Okay.
Similar
formula?
Similar, flawless, lightweight, breathable, but just a little bit more on the matte side.
Okay.
I use both. I use the Luminous on the outer parts of the face. Like, I'll use the Luminous foundation around the skin. Like, I'll use it on the cheekbones, a little bit around the forehead.
And fill.
And then do the matte in the center. That's my little trick.
Interesting.
So, love them. Yeah. I'll do Makeup Forever HD for TV. I really mix and match so much. Urban Decay,
this, like,
I love like the Urban Decay Naked
setting
Skin.
Spray? No,
I love their setting spray, but the Naked Skin foundation,
okay,
very full coverage and amazing. Like it, but it's full coverage with still looking like your skin, which I like.
Interesting.
Yeah, and they have
the full coverage ones. It that I like is the is Double Wear is really good full coverage, and then also MAC Studio Fix is really good full coverage.
Yeah.
Like. You put on MAC Studio Fix, is
you
not
are
going
not
anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
And it looks so good on TV.
Yeah, I have to say, it you can,
for
like,
photographs,
for
even.
For photographs,
yeah.
Like, it just really has that, like, appeal.
Finished look. Like, yeah. When I've gone on TV for things, or, like, if I do an on-air thing, I will wear MAC Studio Fix on myself, because it literally will just take away any blemish, dark circles, everything.
Yeah.
It's
and
amazing.
You'll look normal
you actually,
on
yeah.
TV.
You look
yeah.
like yourself. Like,
yeah.
your skin looks the same, but just, like, flawless.
Mm-hmm. And then the Dior... now, here, look at me. I'm giving you tips.
Give me the tips. I'm like, I don't even know much about...
The Dior spray foundation,
yeah.
I feel like that's lovely and dewy, and it's like really
it's
light.
It's flawless.
Yeah.
Love the airbrush kind of finish.
Really
like,
cool.
See, I don't know anyone at Dior, so that's
what?
Why. I'm like,
oh,
I don't know anyone at Dior, so
Dior was
I can't tell much about them because I don't have much from them, but their eyeshadows are really pretty too.
Yeah.
They have like a few really, I have like quad like eyeshadow palette that I use for them when like someone wants like a little bit more of like a shimmer in their like a spark in their eyeshadow look. I love their palettes. And then like it just the list keeps going.
I know.
It's
we could
endless.
Be here all night.
It's like literally because every day I'm like, oh, but this does this.
Yeah.
And like I don't have just one black eyeliner favorite.
You have 75.
I have 8 different black liquid eyeliners because, you know, they're all
different.
Do something different.
That's the joy of it all.
I know, but it's
fun.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you. We could talk forever.
Yeah,
this has been amazing.
Could.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. It's
this
been
is awesome.
So nice to talk about makeup.
Thank
basically.
You. Well, hopefully, you know, we can continue to chat about it anytime.
Yes.
Another time.